fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm so glad you could join me this morning. This week, the church gives us a set of readings from the first letter of St. Peter. And if you've tuned into the program at all over the last number of years, you know this is one of my favorite sections in the New Testament. It begins with Peter declaring what the Lord has done for us. And we can see in most of the letters in the New Testament, whether it's Paul or St. Peter or St. John, they all begin with the same thing. They begin with what matters most, with what God has done for us. And they proclaim it, they declare it, they rejoice in it, and they get to us because they want us to be able to lay hold of it so that the joy that they carried in their hearts, the joy that they have right now because they're before the face of God, but the confidence as disciples of Jesus, as Christians, the sense of identity, purpose, and destiny, the fact that God had chosen them, they were gripped by those fundamental truths. And those truths were the foundation of their lives and their ministries. And so it's what carried them through trial and difficulty, but it was also the source of joy and reason for great celebration. So I want to talk a little bit today about this first section in St. Peter's first letter. And particularly, I want to dial into the term chosen, because the realization of being chosen is so much a part of the teaching of all the apostles and Jesus himself. Remember, Jesus said to the apostles in John chapter 15, verse 16, he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've chosen you, and I've appointed you to bear fruit that will last." Those words are directed to each one of us as well. Everyone who's baptized into Christ and anyone who's really made a decision to become a disciple of Jesus and to become his follower. It's a beautiful section there in John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to the disciples and saying, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. You're my friends. And because you're my friends, I give to you everything that the Father has given to me. What the Father has said to me, I pass on to you. I share with you. I bring you into the heart of my relationship with the Father." That's one way that Jesus expresses the fact that we have been chosen. He said, right from there is when he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you for this friendship. I chose you for this relationship." But let's turn to Peter, the beginning of that first letter. This is chapter 1 and following. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia." These are cities, towns in Asia Minor. It said, verse 2, "You are chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you." So Peter's writing a letter to a specific group of people, the young Christian churches that have emerged in Asia Minor, and they're under lots of trial and lots of persecution. That's part of the whole theme. I think just about a month ago, I talked about some of these chapters as well. It's a theme that runs through Peter's entire letter, the whole idea that we undergo trials and suffering because Christ underwent trials and suffering, that it's part of the normal Christian life to experience opposition, and he's trying to strengthen brothers and sisters who are under it pretty heavy. And so he's addressing those people, and he begins right away by using the word chosen. "You were chosen and destined by God the Father." Everything begins with God the Father. He's the origin of all things, the origin of creation. And he's the origin of the mission, the extension of the kingdom of God in this world through his Son and through the Holy Spirit. Christianity is a religion that begins in the heart of a loving Father. It's God the Father who sends forth his Son into the world to save us, to redeem us, to seek and save the lost, and to bring us home. And he does that through his life, his passion, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, from the dead, his ascension into glory, and then from a position of authority, the head of a new race of people, he sends forth his Spirit into the world. It's then possible for us to become adopted sons and daughters of God. We become children of God through the power and the presence of the Spirit. So Peter begins by reminding them who they are. and we can take it to heart ourselves. We are chosen and destined. Take some time today and take some time every day to just say that to yourself. Look in the mirror and say it to yourself. I am chosen and destined by God. I'm chosen by God. I belong to Him. And that relationship begins with Him. The reason I know Him is because He's chosen me. He's chosen you for what? Here's what He describes here. He chose you to be sanctified by the Spirit, that is, to be set apart. To be set apart for God, to be holy, to become God's holy possession, to be part of His holy people. This is a work that God does. It's not a work that we do on our own resources. It's a work we cooperate with, we say yes to. But the key is, friends, this is what He's done for us. This is what He wants to do in us and take it to its full completion, which is literally to be with Him in glory. So you've been chosen and destined by God for a purpose. What's your destiny? What has God chosen you for? He's chosen you to be holy. He's chosen you to be set apart for Him, to be His special possession. He wants you to be part of His family, bearing the identity of His Son, and living, as Peter would say later, you are a part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. The whole idea of being set apart is really what happened with the people of Israel, right? And also within the people of Israel, you know, the tribe of Levi and the whole priesthood, they were set apart to do particular things for God and for His kingdom. And we're all set apart to be a part of God's new race of people, to be part of the chosen race that He now has raised up in His Son, who become that chosen race because they share in what belongs to Jesus. He goes on. So God has chosen you and destined you to be sanctified by the Spirit, for what purpose? For obedience to Jesus Christ. For obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with His blood. Two very important realities of what it means for us to be followers of Christ. What it means to be chosen. What it means to be destined. We're destined and chosen to live a life of obedience to the person of Jesus. The Father sent His Son into the world, and in Jesus, all of God's plan, all of God's entire economy, His purpose, is revealed in Jesus. In Jesus, we find out who God is, that God is, but who God is and God's nature, that God is love, that God is our Father, that God has given us commandments. He's created us for a purpose, that He designed us. And then Jesus reveals to us the life we were destined to live, the life we've been chosen for, and that's a life of obedience to the Father. So Jesus brings to us the will of God, the commandments of God, the life of God, and then He shows us what it means to be a fulfilled and free and happy human being, moving in our destiny, moving into the purpose for which we were made. We see it in the life of Jesus, all the way to Calvary. I talked about this during Holy Week a few weeks back, where we see throughout Jesus' life, He said, my purpose is to do the will of Him who sent me. My food is to do His will. When the devil tempted Him, what did Jesus say to him? The same thing. Everywhere in Jesus' life, He declared the truth that the foundation of His freedom, His identity, His purpose, and His destiny was expressed in His obedience to the Father. And Jesus would later say to the apostles, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Those who love me, obey me. Jesus expressed His love for the Father. He showed us what love really is. It's a decision of the heart, mind, and will, and the whole person to say yes to God's purpose and God's commands. It's not just a feeling. It's a decision of the will. And Jesus expressed that perfectly on Calvary. And from the cross, He's communicating to you and to me. From the cross, His arms stretched, His body broken and bleeding, He's offering Himself to the Father, and He's faithful to everything that He told the disciples and that He tells each one of us, that there's no safer place to be than in the will of God the Father. No matter what it looks like to human eyes, because if you look at the cross, you look at Jesus, you say, He's chosen, He has a great destiny, He has something to hope in, He looks abandoned. It's like He has nothing, and He's a failure. But Jesus understood the road to happiness, to fulfillment, the road to our freedom meant Jesus obeying the Father even to the point of death. That's what a chosen race looks like. That's what a chosen people, that's what we're called to live like, to literally be ready to do whatever the Father commands us, whatever Jesus communicating to us what the Father commands us to. We express that faithfulness to the Father by saying yes to the one he's given to us, our elder brother, who's now Lord of all. All power and authority belong to Jesus. He's in charge of everything. And we acknowledge that, and we bend our knee to him, and we say yes to whatever Jesus wills. As St. Paul put it in 1 Corinthians, I think he said, we make it our aim now to please the Lord. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 5, somewhere in there. We make it our aim to please the Lord, to obey him, do what he says. And he said, so we've been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. Peter's making reference to the sprinkling of the blood that took place in the Old Testament. It's often associated with priestly ordination, the rite of ordination, or when Moses was on Mount Sinai and the commandments were given, and he sprinkled the people of Israel with God's blood, and it was the establishment of the covenant relationship. That's a foreshadowing of what was to be fulfilled perfectly as an offering to the whole world, an invitation to the entire world to come into covenant relationship with God the Father through the person of Jesus Christ and through the sprinkling of his blood. The sprinkling of his blood. His blood cleanses us. It's his blood that sets us apart. It's his blood through his sacrifice, through his offering, his death and resurrection, and then extending that grace and power to us. He chooses us. We're chosen in Jesus Christ to be holy, to be God's people, to be engaged in his mission. And friends, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how smart you are, what you possess, what you don't possess, every single human being is called to this destiny. And here is the source of your dignity. Here's the source of your identity. Here's where human security comes from. The world wants us to believe that it comes from how much money we have, what we possess, how bright we are, how much everybody loves us, all that. That stuff's fine, but it's passing. It cannot satisfy. We are chosen and destined to be united to God and to have God's favor, not just the attention or the fame of this passing world, but God himself to be his possession. And Jesus shows us where that goes. He was faithful. He demonstrated for us what love looks like. Love is expressed in obedience, even to the point of death. And Jesus said, friends, trust me. I call you friends, and I speak to you as an intimate friend. Trust me. Obedience to the Father will lead to eternal glory and happiness forever. Disobedience to the Father will lead to eternal ruin. So Christ speaks the truth to us, and he shows us what it means that we are chosen. Friend, you are chosen and destined by God the Father. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.